Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Let's just look back to last week real quick. I don't know if it was a surprise that you won, but I thought it was surprised how you won. You kind of dominated that game start to finish.
We did. You know, I thought we had dominated in the trenches, both offensively and defensively, our ability to stop their run. You know, this was a Washington team that came in averaging almost 350 yards rushing a game, and, you know, we were really stout, outside that one drive in the third quarter where they kind of moved the ball. Other than that, they didn't get much, and I think they ended up with about 150 yards rushing is all. And, we had a lot of short fields for their offense, for our offense, which really allowed us to pile up points in a hurry. You know, 21 points in the first half, 21 points in the first quarter, 21 points in the second quarter. We're up 42-0 at half, and, you know, that's ball game.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing this year. Your defense has given your offense a lot of short fields.
Yeah, we have. You know, we've had a lot of good three and outs, and, you know, a lot of defensive success. And, you know, our punt return has done well, too. You know, Ryan Clark has done a great job, catching and returning punts for us and giving us short fields. And offense did a good job on Friday night capitalizing on us.
You know, Friday night, it's, you know, the best team you played all year going to Wentzville to take on Holt.
I think the most complete team, and not taking anything away from Hannibal, obviously, but I think Holt might be the most complete football team. You just don't see many weaknesses when you look at them on tape.
You know, you look, Cooper Brown, quarterback, has thrown for 2,500 yards this year. What kind of a player does he present as a problem?
Well, I mean, he's very athletic, very mobile. You know, like you said, 2,500 yards, 37 touchdowns. You know, everything kind of begins with him offensively. He's a scrambler. He's going to keep plays alive. His athleticism really extends plays, and they've got great receivers. You know, they're really quick and athletic at all the spots, and, you know, that's been things we've been focusing on this week, is when he does break the pocket, when he does scramble, and he's trying to create more time for himself, that we stay locked on to receivers, because they have a lot of talented receivers too. But, you know, he reminds you a little bit of Jake Weaver for us last year. So, yeah.
And then you look, but they can run the football. You know, second half last week against Battle, that's what they did, and just controlled the clock, I said.
Yeah, about 80% of their run plays are just inside zone. They'll run a little inside zone, a little stretch zone, but they are an inside zone team. I was able to see them play in person last year against Jeff City in week one. I was impressed with, you know, their execution offensively. You know, it wasn't really anything flashy or complex, but what they did very well, and they ran zone really, really well. And, you know, they'll run jet sweep and get it out to the edge with their athletes too.
Kids excited practice this week?
Oh, yeah. I think we've had our best week of practice all year. Tuesday's practice was great, I think, on both sides of the ball. You know, we were physical. Our scout teams did a great job. Coach Pitt said defensively he thought Tuesday's practice was the best Tuesday practice our defense have had all year. Offensively, you know, we were sharp all week. And, you know, I think Drew's really locked in. He kind of understands what we're trying to accomplish, the game plan. We really tried to narrow our focus this week, because we are going to see three defensive fronts, and we want to make sure we can execute well against all three of those fronts.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches, and just once again, I'd like to take a moment to thank some of our Goal Line sponsors this year. We'd like to thank Stockman Construction, Summit Auto Service and Tire, Graves and Associates CPAs, Hawthorne Bank, Schulte's Fresh Foods, and Versalois Construction Company. All right, Tom, I guess the first question is, we kind of figured that Helias would probably win last week's, you know, Class 5 District 4 semifinal against Washington. I guess the ease of the victory is what kind of surprised me, with it being a 40-6 victory for Helias.
Yeah, you know, get up 42-0 at halftime. It was not what I was expecting. Now, in retrospect, you know, should have thought, you're never going to make a living running the ball against Helias.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
And so maybe... But I thought they would have maybe a little bit of success and control the ball, but it was just, you know, three and outs, and, you know, and I think we did talk, you know, you wanted to keep them behind the chains. Well, I mean, it was like third and seven and third and six and third and nine. They had no choice but to try to throw the ball
right at
that point. And so, Helias took advantage of a lot of short fields, scored a lot, you know, again, scored, what is that, 6 touchdowns in the first half, mm-hmm. and just kind of dominated that game start to finish.
You know, I think it's one of those that you know, again, I should never be surprised when sometimes we have that much separation. But you still felt like this was a competitive district. This was a district semifinal. And again, 49-6 is just, it's too big. It's too big a number, I think, sometimes in the district semifinal. Where are you going thinking it's going to be that easy? So I guess, you know, just you take your hats off to Helias and say, you know what, you guys must have done exactly what you were supposed to do it with that, you know, the preparation and the game plan and everything else and the execution of the game plan.
Yeah. Washington came in on a 5-game winning streak, thought, hey, they're rolling. Hey, that's going to be a confident team. And really, they weren't in it after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. I guess that's one of those things, too, where you go, you know, I guess that's sometimes as a coach you like to see it play out that way. I mean, yes, you know, sometimes you're always about, okay, it's good to get pushed. It's good to get tested. I don't know. Sometimes it's just good to get out in front early and stay out in front and just, you know, cruise to a victory.
Yeah. Chris was a little, I don't want to say disappointed because that's not the right word, but he would have liked to have been a little more competitive a little longer because, you know, up 42-0 at the half, and then, you know, Tyler Sambody just strips on the very first play from the second half, strips the ball, returns it 22 yards per touchdown. It's 49-0 10 seconds into the third quarter. And now do you want to look like the team that's going to keep your starters out there when you're up 49-0?
Sure.
But the fact that you've got what you think is going to be a 4-quarter game coming up for the district final, do you want your starters sitting out?
Right.
Basically the last half of the game after having a bye the week before.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I mean, the defensive starter stayed in for a couple more series, and the offensive starter stayed in for another series. But I think he was kind of hoping it'd been a little more competitive to keep the juices going for the kids.
Sure, and especially you know coming off that bye in the first week of districts, you know, it's almost like you almost had almost a second bye in some respects, and so that just makes it even tougher. Because yeah, you're right. At this point, I think now you're going to see coaches getting more leery about, have we gotten enough reps? Are we you know, sharp as we should be going into a district championship?
Yeah, I mean, think before the bye, running clock against Biondi, running clock against Smith Cotton, running clock against Jeff City.
Right.
You know, 31-0 against Capital City. It's been a while since they've tried to play 4-quarter. Now, against Capital City, they did basically play 3-quarters plus. But, I mean, a 4-quarter game, you might have to go all the way back to almost Rockbridge before,
right.
in week, I guess it'd been week 4, maybe 5, maybe, before they played a game.
Right.
You know, and that's been a month ago.
Exactly.
Month ago. So, that's a question I would have.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say, turning our attention forward, I don't see a running clock happening this week from the standpoint of, you know, this is kind of what we, when things were kind of drawn up early on, you could kind of look ahead and go, you know what, I see this as maybe a, you know, a Helias versus Holt, you know, district championship game, and that's the way it's played out. You know, Holt, you know, we talked last week and we were talking about, okay, could Battle give Holt a game? Battle did not give Holt a game. It was 48-12, and Holt really, you know, just had a commanding performance against a team that, again, is very skilled, but just did not have enough horses to keep up with Holt last week.
Yeah, 34-0 at half, and then basically shifted to the run game just to kind of run out the clock in the second half, get out of there. You know, Helias has seen Battle. You know, it was somewhat similar. 35, you know, it was 35-14 going in, you know, with 2 minutes left before Battle scored a touchdown against Helias 2s late to make it look a little closer. You know, that's a game this year I think Helias played better than the score indicated.
Okay.
But, you know, you look at Battle, I was not spending time wasting on Battle. You know, Battle is, you know, like I say, talented, but if they, you know, and can put it together, but just obviously didn't put it together that night.
Right. It is now kind of, again, you know, basically you got two teams with only one loss between them this year. Helias comes in at 9-1, ranked 6th in Class 5, Holt's 10-0, and ranked 3rd in Class 5. So, again, you can kind of look at it and go, this is their own a collision course, but it's always nice to see when teams take care of business and then get to the fact that they can have that collision later on. So, I guess the biggest thing is, now we got to get ready for this week. It is kind of everybody's. I've had more than a few people ask me this week just alone, probably as many people as asked me about Helias' game combined this season, or ask me, okay, what do you think about Friday night? So I'm going to ask you, what do you think about Friday night?
You know, it is a game that, like you said, once you saw district assignments and then after the first way 3 or 4 weeks played out, you knew that this was what was going to happen.
Right.
It's just a question of whether, you know, after Helias lost, whether Holt was going to get a loss or two, against their schedule, and the game would be here in Jeff City, or whether they were going to, you know, 10-0 heading to Wentzville. So, that, you know, 10-0 heading to Wentzville. I think it's going to be a really interesting clash in styles. But yeah, go ahead. What?
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, we have, by the same token, about, you know, you talk about how whether or not they would have a loss or two against their schedule. You know, really, you look at their results, and there's only been two games that have kind of been one possession games this year. I mean, they really took care of business against everybody else. They had a 27-20 win against Timberland in what was that, week four, and then, you know, a 24 win against Troy, you know, 2 weeks before the district play. So,
well Francis Howell, too. Don't.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I mean, it is one of those where you just look at it and go, they've kind of answered the bell each time out, which is kind of what you expect of a team against them. So I guess the question is just, were you surprised that they were able to run it and get to the point where they are now 10-0 heading into this game?
I kind of had them pegged that you know, it's just tough to play, you know, playing up a. I thought they would probably lose one of those games in there somewhere.
Yeah,
because it's just, you know, those are quality football teams they were playing.
Sure.
But they got it done, and you look, you know, those one score games that are sometimes, I think against Francis Howell, they had to rally to come back and win that game.
Yeah, and I think they won that one 42-32. So yeah it ends up being a two score game. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. It's still close going down the stretch.
You know, and my question that I had was, you know, Elias hasn't played a close game yet.
Right.
They, you know, how are they going to react? The closest finals, you know, Battle was the closest final score, and we've already talked, that wasn't that close.
Right, right.
So how are they going to, you know, you can say Holt has been through the fourth quarter, but they know how to win.
Yeah.
You know, they know how to close out games.
Right.
You know, Elias hasn't had that capability yet. Now, Chris and I talked about that. He said, you know, these kids went through, you know, while they didn't all play last year or play a lot last year, they went through our playoff run, and we, you know, where they won close game after close game.
Right.
They know what it takes to get it done.
Sure.
It's just a matter of now having to prove it. And he said the practice this week has been good. They thought they're focused. They think they're, you know, they don't think that that's going to be a problem. I don't know. To me, that would be one of the question marks I had going into the game. How is Elias going to react in a close game?
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned it, but let's talk about that. It is kind of a contrast in style. So what is the contrast in styles between these two teams?
I think that Holt kind of lives and dies with its offense.
Okay.
And they try, you know, they put up points. You know, they have given up points this year.
Yeah.
And then you look at Elias, as good as their offense has been, you know, and yes, they have scored a lot. You know, it starts with the defense.
Right.
You know, I know we talked earlier, you're not going to make a living running against them.
Mm-hmm.
That is a strength of the team. To me, I've seen teams have success throwing against them.
Okay.
And Holt can definitely throw the ball.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I mean, well, let's go back to the Viani game, because that was, you know, I thought, okay, this, you know, we talked about this back then. This will be the test.
Mm-hmm.
What does their pass defense look like? Well, you look at the first half of that night, Viani threw for 200 yards. And you thought, well, this isn't good.
Right.
And it frankly had open receivers, and there were balls that were just kind of lobbed up that Elias had a chance to defend and didn't.
Sure.
It was not pretty.
Yeah.
But second half, I think they go up 18 yards passing because they made proper adjustments.
Okay.
And so you go, okay, they got to maybe have this kind of figured out. Well, you know, and so you look back also. I mean, let's go back to Washington. You knew that they weren't going to throw the ball, they didn't want to.
Right.
They threw the ball, I think, seven or nine times. I can't remember. But there were a couple times they were wide open and either overthrew them or just dropped it.
Okay.
Now, do you take anything away from that pass defense-wise when you're, you know, when you're expecting a team to run the ball a
right.
couple times?
Right.
No, you probably didn't spend a whole lot of time preparing for the pass game. But those guys, you know, the thing was, they were open.
Right.
And they had the chance to score. So, to me, that is still my question. How is the Hawaii's pass defense going to play?
And my question is have they seen anybody the caliber of quarterback Cooper Brown? I mean, that's the thing is, this is a guy who's coming in with some extremely gaudy numbers, and I don't know. I'll just ask you flat out: have they seen anybody like this on their schedule this year?
I think the Rockbridge quarterback Denton is his last name. Sorry, I don't remember his first name. He was a quality quarterback.
Okay,
and he played the first half, and Rockbridge did okay. And then he went to receiver for the second half. And what is going on here? So I think he would be someone maybe comparable, but not the fact. Chris said that that Cooper Brown reminds him a little bit of Jake Weaver.
Okay.
Because if you want to go back to last year, you know, can throw it, will run it when he needs to, but can really throw it pretty much everywhere. Anywhere he needs to throw it, he's going to throw it.
And so, and when he throws it, he's mostly going to complete it, because I don't care what level you're playing at. 75% completion percentage is good at whatever level you're playing at. So the fact that he's doing that, and you know, he's thrown for 35 TDs this year, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, and he'll throw it deep occasionally. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not like they're all like, you know, 5-yard checkdowns,
right,
little dumps.
Right.
He's got an arm, and he is getting college looks, kind of small college looks, but he's getting college looks. You know, Jays fans might remember him, people from Jeff City. They played down here the season opener last year, and he picked the Jays apart.
Yeah.
And so and Chris said he was at that game, and he was very impressed with him just in person. And now they've seen him, you know, all 10 games on Huddle. He said he's really, really good quarterback.
He's also got some weapons that go with it too.
Yeah. I mean, Chris pointed out, especially Jackson Smith,
yeah,
the receiver. He said, "This is the guy we've really got to worry about. He's the one that really makes them go." And he's caught, I think, 77 passes for about 900 yards.
Yeah,
and 17 touchdowns.
Right.
You've got to. He said, "We've got to know where he is all the time."
Sure.
And he will line up. He said, "He'll line up outside. He'll line up in the backfield. He'll line up in the slot. He'll look kind of like a tight end." So I asked, "Are you just going to shadow him?" And he goes, "Well, no, we really can't do that. But everybody's got to know where he's at, because have to make sure he is accounted for on defense first."
Right. And I assume it's going to be the sort of thing where when you talk about a guy that's, you know, got 77 catches, or you're talking 8 catches a game basically in a 10-game season, you're going to know where he's at, because they're going to be targeting him a lot. So, you know, you'll be aware of him, I'm sure. If you're not aware of him the first couple plays, trust me, you'll get aware of him pretty quick. So, now, that's not to say that he's the only guy you've got to be concerned about, because they do also run the ball enough, too, that it's going to be tricky for. Like I say, when a team wants to make its bones on offense, like you said they do, that means they're probably pretty good at a bunch of different factors.
Yeah, you know, and this gets back to the point, you cannot sell out on the pass. Because you send everybody back in coverage, they've got a kid, Kyle Wubling, who can run the ball. He's run for almost 1,200 yards this year. He's, you know, and last week against Battle, Holt basically up 34-0, got the running clock going, basically didn't really throw in the second half, just ran this kid. He ran for more than 200 yards and scored 4 touchdowns.
Right.
Just try, you know, run the clock, get the game over with. So they are capable of running the football. It's an interesting... You know, how much do you try to sell out on the pass without giving up your run integrity?
Right.
That's where, you know, defense coordinator Phil Pitts and his staff have to come up with a balance of what they're going to do.
Right. So while it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, Hawaii's be able to get enough stops on defense to slow them down enough that puts them in some kind of unfamiliar territory, this almost feels like one of those games where we're going to have to see the Hawaii's offense probably play well enough that they can kind of keep pace with them long enough until maybe you can get one of those game-altering stops or one of those, you know, one of those turnovers where it changes momentum, changes field position, that sort of thing. So how adept do you think, I mean, how well do you feel like Helias is going to be able to make, if it turns into a shootout, how well do you like their chances in this one?
Well, they've shown they can score.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously Drew Miller's going to have to play a great game.
Okay.
I think, you know, even if the defense does play well, he's going to have to play well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it all starts with the quarterback. He's going to have to distribute it to places that it needs to go. You know, the running game has been good this year. You know, Ryan, they've got 4 guys, you know, Ryan Clark and Will Harebold and Carson Bronner and Corbin Fisher, and so they've got guys that can go in the backfield and run it. I think balance is the key. I was finishing up the season stats the other day, and I think they're within like 100 yards or so between run and pass totals.
Okay,
which is good. You know, which means that they've got the balance they want, and so you would think they would like to run the ball, because that
sure
keeps the ball away from Holt.
Sure.
Maybe try to frustrate their offense. Just long drives. Be patient. Don't just try for the big hit. That may be the game plan. I don't know. Chris and I really didn't talk about it, and he wouldn't tell me anyway.
Well, sure. Right.
But you know, I don't know what the plan is.
Yeah, and I guess, like you say, the defense has given up scores this year. So, I mean, if there is a place where, you know, Holt may be a little bit liable to, you know, have a ding in its armor, that's going to be the place where you look at it and go, okay, maybe that's where, yeah. Like say, maybe the Hawkeyes offense can control time of possession and all that sort of stuff. Maybe that's where this game swings if that ends up being something where you can have a decided advantage. Maybe like you say, if you can frustrate them and just keep the ball out of their hands, sometimes that's just hard for teams to get adjusted to.
Yeah, the one thing you don't want to do is fall behind big early.
Right.
If you can give up an early touchdown, that's fine. 7-0, that's manageable.
Yeah.
But if you're losing 14-0 or 21-0 and it's the end of the first quarter, you're in trouble.
Yep.
You know, and that's a hard thing to come back from.
Absolutely. We haven't talked about it to this point, but again, it's at Holt this weekend, or this is Friday night. It's a road game. And you know, if you're looking at two teams that kind of look evenly matched, sometimes that can be a deciding factor. So I mean, is that any cause for concern for the Hawkeyes faithful?
We're comfortable going on the road. He said it doesn't bother us. It's, you know, they have a routine. We're just going to follow our routine and go. The one thing, and not to jump around here, one thing maybe to watch out for in the game is, you know, the weather's been great this week.
Right.
It's supposed to be cruddy game.
Right.
It's going to be cold and it's going to be windy.
Okay.
How does that affect the run game? That won't affect the run game. How does that affect the pass game?
Yeah.
You know, is it blowing across the field, down the field? You know, somebody brought that up to me today, and I go, well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. That may play a role too. So
sure.
it'll be cold up there.
Yeah.
I know that for sure.
Well, I guess that gets us to the prediction point. We kind of talked all around it, but you know, how do you see this one playing out? What's your gut feeling going into this one?
I'm a hard learner. But I'm learning. Don't ever count out a Hawkeyes defense.
Okay.
I think they are going to come up with something that will slow down Holt long enough that they will be able to get enough points to win. So I'm going to say 31-28 Hawkeyes.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.